The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Well, hello, hello. This is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, and I am honored to once again be one of the co-hosts for today's episode of Blog Talk Radio with the International Mastermind Association, where, as you heard, like-minded people gather around the principles detailed by Napoleon Hill's landmark book, Think and Grow Rich. Today, we will be discussing Chapter 6, Organized Planning, the Crystallization of Desire into Action, the Sixth Step to Riches. We will also have another amazing guest, Sandra Barker McIntosh, who will share her insight on this chapter. She is a brilliant accountant and MBA. She has an amazing financial mind and attributes a lot of her success to organized planning. So you definitely will not want to miss that part of the conversation. We also have some incredible co-hosts today, which we will bring them in shortly and let them introduce themselves. But before we do that, I just want to remind everyone that we do want this to be a conversation. So while you're listening, while you're soaking in the information, definitely think about questions you'd want to ask. And you can join the conversation by dialing 661-554-9219 and then hitting 1 on your phone, and you will be plugged in with those of us in the studio and with Ms. Barker McIntosh as well. But right now, I want to introduce the incredible co-host that's going to help me guide this ship. So, as I introduce each of them, I'm going to ask them to share any ahas that they may have gotten through this chapter of the book, Think and Grow Rich, or anything from the book in general. Starting off is a really, really talented executive, entrepreneur, professor, speaker. This guy does it all, Dr. Peter James. Peter, what's going on?
Good morning to you, Galen. How are you today?
Fantastic.
Excellent, excellent. I'm just so thankful to be here this morning, so thankful to be talking about Think and Grow Rich. So thankful to have Sandra with us this morning. Wow. Think and Grow Rich, this chapter on organized planning, a whole lot of things I can think about, but without belaboring the point, I'm going to jump right into this and I'll tell a little bit about myself. One thing about this chapter that sticks out to me on a regular basis is Napoleon Hill talked about Thomas Edison and the fact that he failed so many times before he actually achieved success. And to me, that's an inspiration that, you know, this is a marathon. It's definitely not a race. And he puts in the text, Thomas A. Edison failed 10,000 times before he perfected the incandescent electric light bulb. That is, he met with temporary defeat 10,000 times before his efforts were crowned with success. success. And so that right there is an inspiration to me to stay on my road, to stay on my journey. Hopefully it is an inspiration to others that, listen, you're going to achieve more failure than you do success. So for me, I have a background in military background, a corporate background for quite some time, and an academic background. I'm currently a business and leadership coach. I also teach business and entrepreneurship. And I love doing what I do. I love helping others to achieve success in their business goals and their business dreams. And so this Think and Grow Rich book by Napoleon Hill is really a backbone of what I reach to when I feel like I'm struggling, even for that matter, when I'm not struggling as well. So, again, just happy to be here. Thankful to be here. Looking forward to chatting with Sandra a little bit, Galen, and that's what I got. Thank you, sir.
Well, great, great. Boy, I tell you, I mean, that comment about Edison and failure, I wish that were not true, but that is definitely true, that it's part of achieving success, and I'm glad that you brought that out. So my next co-host, I'd like to say, is the speaker that only needs one name. Pagin is a Hall of Fame speaker. She is an amazing force of nature. If ever you're having an event and you just want this kind of insight that you're going to hear on today's episode, there is one person that I would put near the top of your list as Pagin. Pagin, tell us a little bit about yourself, and what did you get from this book and this incredible chapter?
Good morning, Will. I am loving this chapter. I love that what we get to do is read this book. And the truth of the matter is you have to read Think and Grow Rich over and over and over and over and over again, because there's so many tidbits of information that help you lead, grow, succeed, and prosper, not only in business but in all life. And I'm excited because on page 112, he's talking about the 10 major causes of failure in leadership in the organized planning chapter. And the thing that I was taken about is number 3. So it says expectation of pay for what they know instead of what they do with that which they know. The world does not pay people for that which they know. It pays them for what they do or induce others to do. I love that. You know, the key is it pays them for what they do with what they know or induce others to do. And he also goes on page 111 about all the opportunities that exist for leaders now. The demand for leaders who are competent to apply the new methods of leadership have greatly exceeded the supply. So here we have on one hand this vast number of opportunities for you, me, all of us to be extraordinary, to make a difference by staying the kind of leaders that inspire others to action. And then the second part is knowing that it's not just what we know, but it is about what we get paid for what we do and induce others to do. And the inducing, oh, how amazing is that word? Inducing enables us to inspire, influence, create love, joy, passionately see people for who their potential is and be able to give them some insight and information so that they can think and grow rich, they can succeed, and together we make our organizations more profitable, more prosperous, more people-oriented. You can tell that I got passionate about that page. So that's my aha.
Boy, that's quite an aha. And remind me never to follow up again, because you captured so many jewels there, several of which I certainly pulled out of the text as well. So thank you for that. Ursula Odom is our next co-host, and she is the owner of Sula 2 Publishing, and she is quite the speaker herself, and she is really kind of the glue that holds all of this together, both in and out of the studio. Ursula, please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what are some of the jewels that you pulled from this particular chapter.
Good morning, and thank you for allowing me to follow Pagin. I am excited about this chapter for a lot of reasons. But before I talk about that, I am the CEO of Sula 2, and what I do as a part of that company is to capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible. And that led to my aha for today, quite frankly. I was looking at the fact that we were talking about organized planning, and I thought about it like when you decide to buy a car. Once you decide on that new car, or once you buy that new car, every time you turn around, you're seeing exactly the same car. You're totally alerted to that in your universe. And so I say that once you decide what you're doing, then all the opportunities that fit into that tend to pop up as well. And I had that happen just this past week where I portray Mary McLeod Bethune. And someone has asked me to portray Ida B. Wells. And I thought about that, and I realized that, okay, in the analogy that I'm giving, both of them are cars. They're vehicles to get the story out, portraying one person versus another. But I have been portraying Mary McLeod Bethune for quite some time, and I came to the realization that even though both of them were cars, I didn't want to take on another personality in Ida B. Wells. So instead of deciding to portray her, I said, okay, but I love the story. I can tell the story. I can present the information. So I made a decision based on the structure that I have put in my life and what I want, and being able to say yes or say no, or to adjust based on what you have organized for yourself and the decisions that you have made for yourself. And once you've decided what you're doing, are you being persistent? And that was a moment where I said, yes, I am, because I evaluated every opportunity consistent with what is good for me and my company and putting out the story. I'm not to do the same thing for every opportunity. I have to adjust the opportunity for the best delivery method possible. So that was my aha moment. And that particular statement about being persistent in making decisions and how promptly you make those decisions is on page 134 in the book. And it's a part of a number of questions that you ask yourself to see, are you doing things the way that you should? It's a self-analysis questionnaire for your personal inventory. And I have some more information about that at some point in time too, but that is what got me going this week. Thank you.
Outstanding connection. Boy, if success could only come the first time we tried, we wouldn't need persistence, right? So thank you for that. My name is Galen Bingham, and I am the leadership strategist. I am a 30-year veteran of corporate America, a leadership and personal excellence strategist, speaker, author, and coach. I believe that everyone is designed to be the greatest in the world at something, and I help people find their thing so that they can celebrate being the greatest in the world. And my aha, my connection really kind of came on page 109, where Hill outlines the 11 major factors of leadership, since that tends to be my topic, my passion point. He specifically dove in and outlined 11 steps: unwavering courage, self-control, a keen sense of justice, deftness of decision, deftness of plan, habit for doing more than paid for, a pleasing personality, sympathy and understanding, mastery of detail, a willingness to assume full responsibility, and cooperation. And boy, I tell you, he just really makes my job easy of trying to explain what this leadership thing is, and that section just really came to life for me. And this is always my favorite part, my favorite chapter of the book. So I would encourage everyone to dive in. If you don't have a copy, you really are shortchanging yourself, and you should get a copy for yourself. So next, we want to go to a commercial. But when we return, we will hear from our guest, Sandra Barker McIntosh, just an amazing, amazing financial mind with strong connections to the content. Next we want to hear about all the steps of Think and Grow Rich, and then just to hear a commercial about what it is that we're doing here. So with that, we'll hear from you soon.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought. We go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Gold, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter, had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires, that if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds.
step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
Okay, well, welcome back. Today we have an incredible conversation, an incredible guest that you are absolutely going to want to interact with. So remember that you can join the conversation by dialing 661-554-9219 and then hitting 1 on your phone. But Sandra Barker McIntosh is an MBA. She's an accountant with over 20 years in corporate America. She is passionate about teaching employees and small businesses how to leverage their financial systems effectively. She is a devoted mom, wife, and traveler. And to that point, she is currently planning a trip to Ghana at the end of the year for business investors looking to partner with Ghana in the year of return. Prepare to be blown away by her analysis and application of the organized planning chapter. Sandra, welcome to the show. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you have become a fan of Think and Grow Rich.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. So thank you for that warm introduction, Galen. I have been a part of the International Mastermind Association since the beginning of the year. I've been working with my mastermind group on the 10 areas with the McNeil Factor, and so that's how I've become intimate with Think and Grow Rich. I've read the book some years ago, as a lot of people have, but picked it up this year and really committed to my goals and what I'm trying to accomplish in life. And as some of the co-hosts have mentioned, it has really become a guide to help me within my corporate career as well as my personal business, and also help me find night and really work with my clients on their goals. So that's a little bit of how I became involved and really honing in on my knowledge and understanding and growth with Think and Grow Rich.
Well, great. Well, hey, before we get into the conversation, I just one quick question for you. So what have you learned about yourself relative to organized planning? You know, one of the things that I have come to appreciate about this book is that, and Ms. Ann McNeil talks about this as well, that the more times you read the book, eventually the book starts reading you. So what have you learned about yourself while going through Think and Grow Rich in general, but in this chapter in particular?
So what I've learned about myself in this chapter really helped hone in that for me is I perform better when I have a plan and when it's very clear. So I am one of the many people who love doing vision boards. So I normally start my vision board preparation at the end of the year. So last year in December, prepared my vision board, but I needed and wanted to take it a step further. So working on the ideas, and as some of the co-host talked about, having a defined vision of what you want. So I have this vision board, but this year it's like, okay, I need to be very clear about these goals and how I achieve them and really hone them into quarterly sections. So by doing that, it's really allowed for me to see, it's like Ursula mentioned, when you're clear about what you want, and it's interesting, I use that same analogy with you buying a car and seeing it and understanding that it's everywhere. So that's what this has allowed for me, because I'm so focused on these goals that I started and prepared and looking at and fine-tuning in these quarterly sessions. And like in my corporate job, that's what I have to do, prepare for our quarterly reporting. So really being clear on those goals and tweaking as needed. If something doesn't work, then I look for a way to, okay, this is how we need to
tweak it, or is this truly what I desired when I thought I wanted this goal? So that's a little bit of how I'm able to see and be clear about where I'm going and really make sure I'm focusing on the things that I envisioned.
Well, it sounds really, really simple, but being simple doesn't make it easy. So I am really, really excited to have you on this call to kind of talk us through that. I want to get my co-host into the conversation because I know everyone, when we heard that you were coming on and reviewed your background, everyone had questions for you. Before I do that, though, we want to go to a commercial. But when we come back, we are going to bring in our amazing co-host continue this conversation with Sandra Barker McIntosh. So hold tight.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
All right, listeners, we are back, and you have been warned that this is going to be a power-packed show. So get your questions ready. Be sure to dial into 661-554-9219 and then hit number 1 on your phone. And you can throw your questions to our guest or any of our co-hosts about the topic. And speaking of co-hosts, I'd like to bring in my fellow compadres here. And I'm going to start with a guy that I go to a lot for insight and about this content or just about life in general. So Dr. Peter James, what do you have for us? What questions do you have for our guest?
All right. Thanks again, Galen. I appreciate it. Sandra, again, thank you so much for being with us this morning. I loved reading a little bit about your background. I even loved your first answer about planning. I have a friend who also kind of helps facilitate vision boards. So when I heard you say that, that also piqued a little bit of interest in me. But I also loved your background and in corporate America. And I'm interested in some of the pros and the cons, the challenges that you've seen or that you've faced while you're in corporate America as it relates to this planning. What have you experienced? And then maybe even how that has migrated the challenges as an entrepreneur. So do you mind expanding on that a little bit, if possible?
Sure. Thank you for the question, Dr. Peter. So, yes, with working in corporate America, one of the things that I've had the pleasure of doing is working on different implementation projects. And what I've learned is you better be planning and thinking and organizing. And sometimes you're in situations where you can't control the people that are involved in the project and just making sure everyone is on the same page. So one of the things that have helped me is preparing and knowing what the end goal is. And sometimes you are in a situation where you have to work on change management. So the employees that you need to be in contact with, sometimes they are not willing to make the changes that you are tasked to have them do and learn. And so being able to understand and be very clear about what the ultimate goal is and understand you may have shortcomings and being able, like the book talks about, to deal with whatever failures may come. Maybe it's a deadline that wasn't met or there are issues with some of the employees you're working with together, and you have to be able to understand the bigger picture and then help the team come up with this is the game plan. So, for example, maybe the Canada team was having issue with a certain part of the project that they needed to take care of. So in my role as the head of the project, I would sit down with the team and talk about, okay, this didn't work, and let's discuss why it didn't, and then let's talk about how we move forward. So that's a little bit of some of the challenges that in my corporate environment I have to be able to overcome, and just really spend the time to focus and understand what the needs are, what the plan is, and be okay with tweaking the plan. Sometimes we spend a lot of time on, well, this is how it should be, and we have to realize that there are failures that would occur. We just talked about in the book how Edison went through all these different times of going through failure before he came up with the light bulb. So we have to be okay with handling shifts and changes. And then in my personal, in my my business, sometimes with small business owners, they are so focused on one course of action. And so sometimes it's a challenge to try to let them see that, well, this isn't really where you told me you wanted to go. So let's talk about why you feel that we need to take a different change, and just making sure they're clear on, okay, is this what we are trying to accomplish? Is there something that we need to change and tweak? And just being fluid to understand that you can still achieve what you are desiring if you continue to focus and plan for it.
Yeah, thank you so much. You said a few things that jumped in my head a little bit. Change management, of course. I think we definitely have to be so flexible and adaptable, whether you're in corporate and especially as an entrepreneur, because it's almost like no 2 days are the same, and you have to be able to shift according to what the market presents or your customers present to a certain extent. So thank you so much for sharing that. That was definitely inspirational to me as well. So. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to jump on because this is Pagin. I got to jump in on this one over here. But to tie into my question, to tie about, you know, I love how you just said, is this, you know, a question, making the questions, is this what you really want to do, or is this, I always call it the solar fish, right, when you're going at the ocean and you're watching the beautiful sunset coming down in the water, and you're just like in that moment, and suddenly at that moment you feel things tickling your feet, and here you're in this beautiful, blissful, oh, the world is magnificent, but now you're directed to looking at your feet, and are there these hundreds of little silver fish around your feet, and you forgot about the sunset, you forgot about the ocean, you forgot about your bliss, and now you're focused someplace else. So that happens in business all the time, right? Where we see where we want to go, and then we get distracted by our silver fish. So that led me to your 90-day win. You have to know, before we talk about this, I am passionate about 90-day planning. It's what I live for. It's the only way that I know that I can move ahead, because at least 90 days, I know the world isn't going to change dramatically. So tell me about your hashtag 90-day win, and everybody listening, you should be doing hashtag 90-day win, because I know that Sandra is going to blow my mind.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, 90-day win is the hashtag that I came up with last year at the end of, closer to the end of the year. So in my corporate work, I live in 90-day increments. I'm preparing to make sure my accountants have the right data so we can report quarterly to the SEC. So this concept, I call it 90-day win, little wins for big results. So if you take that big vision that you've had for the year, and you break it down into quarters, and then you really think about, okay, what actions do I need to take to get to that goal that I want to have at the end of the year? So this is, I'm the same way. I'm extremely passionate about this because I see where this works within my corporate environment, where I'm planning, helping my team. Okay, we need to have this completed by the end of the quarter so we can report on it. same concept taking into my personal life and saying, okay, these are the things that I'd like to accomplish by the end of the year. So in the first quarter, I'm going to focus on these things. And it's amazing when you are really finite and clear about what you're trying to accomplish. And based on what I believe because I'm so focused on this, I'm saying my affirmations, I'm working with my mastermind group, so they're keeping me accountable to those goals. It's amazing to see just within the quarter the things you accomplish, and then you also see the things that didn't work out. Anything from, and I put in my personal 90-day win, I have multiple different things. So it could be a personal thing I'd want to do with my husband and daughter, or a project I want to work on with a client, or something personal that I desire. It could be something as, you know, working out three to four times a week to be able to achieve those goals of losing weight that we all have, right? So if you're finite on the 3 months, so this is June, this is the end of the second quarter, the last month and the end of the second quarter, I'm extremely excited because of those things that I've put in place for the second quarter to see them. And so I have these huge sticky pads that I literally write down all the things I'd like to accomplish within the quarter. So the first quarter, it was amazing to see, wow, that happened, okay, this didn't happen. And usually the things that didn't happen, I look at them and say, okay, does this align with the bigger vision of what I'm trying to come to? Is this something that needs to be moved into the next quarter? Or maybe this doesn't need to happen and that's fine based on how I'm moving. This doesn't fit with what I'm really trying to accomplish. So the 90-day win, it's encouraging to me to just be very organized and very focused on, okay, these are the things I'm going to accomplish. And then sharing that with my mastermind group, sharing that with my trusted advisors, they help keep me in line and help me ask those questions and say, okay, well, you talked about this. What have you done to help achieve this in this quarter?
So I just want to jump in on that, this 90-day thing, because those of you who don't know Sandra, you know, she not only does this as she's talking about business, but she's also talking about it from her own life. So this woman not just decides to run, but she decides to do 5K mud runs. And she doesn't just go up a hike. She does stone mountain hikes. So, you know, I'm curious about you in the 90 days. And of course, you're also doing business in Ghana, which is pretty unique in terms of international business. So when you're... Because you've done it from a physical place, you've done it from an international place, you've done it from working with a corporate, I'm fascinated about how you're assessing within these 90 days those things that didn't work out. Because the way you're saying it and the way you're framing it is definitely not from a sense of, I messed up, I'm a failure. You are,
no.
The way you're expressing it was really just, all right, it didn't work out. Can you just talk about that for a second? And my cohorts in crime, just, I need to know. So
definitely. Think that's a really good question. So in understanding how my brain works and how I feel most comfort in planning and preparing, it's extremely important for me to be accountable to myself. And what I realized is, it's okay to fail. It's okay to change course. Earlier this year, one of the things I wanted to work on is a business that I had started last year, but I really wanted to focus more on it. But very clearly in the beginning of the year, I realized that this is not something that fits my ultimate goal. So really asking myself, why do I want this? And then understanding that, okay, this is not something I truly want, and it's okay to say no. I think Ursula said that earlier. You have to be really clear about opportunities, because you, like you said, you'll have all these different distractions come in, and you have to be very focused on what you truly desire. That's one of the things I love about Think and Grow Rich, because in each chapter, Napoleon Hill finds a way to bring you back to those beginning things, to always help you look and understand where you're trying to go. And he even says in this chapter, if your first plan fails, try another. That's something that I've learned and seen and observed from others, and I am so grateful to have people within my mastermind group and other trusted advisors and executives who have shared with me that, you know, you can't hold on to the failures. You can't allow them to take over and essentially sometimes cripple you in what you're trying to accomplish. So I've definitely learned that it's okay to tweak and say, you know, that didn't work, learn from it, but move on, because I don't want anything to stop me from all of these many things I want to accomplish. Even in, you know, doing the mud run, I had some time that I needed to take off from work, but I was committed to be able to be physically ready to do the mud run. That's one of the things each year my daughter and I do. And so this year I was thinking, okay, I'm going to have to push hard, and it's okay if I don't meet that timing goal that I want. But guess what? Not only did I surpass the goal, which I was extremely happy about, I just felt proud that I knew that I was focused on achieving it and just trusting and believing in myself. So to me, it's just extremely important to not get hung up on the failures. And that's what's so amazing about reading Think and Grow Rich. I think Galen said, because you're always gleaning something new from it, and it helps you. It's like it was written for you, because where you are in your life and where you're looking to achieve, it's just giving you those pathways to say, it's okay, move forward, focus, look at what didn't work, make sure you get with your advisor. So that's one of the things that have helped me been able to not give myself so much pressure and just not allow myself to get in a space where I'm feeling like I'm a failure.
Thank you so much.
I tell you, I mean, the audience, you guys, listeners, you are getting a taste of what we have been experiencing for a little bit now. So I hope that you are getting questions ready. We're going to go to a commercial here shortly, but please, 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 if you're listening, you know, start thinking of your questions. Again, dial 661-554-9219, hit number one, and join this conversation. This is, quite honestly, I think, a master class in the importance of organized planning. So let's go to a commercial, and we'll come right back with a few more questions.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. We're having a conversation with Sandra Barker McIntosh. And like I said before the break, this is a masterclass in the importance of organized planning. Before we go back to Sandra, I've got to take a shot at Ursula. Ursula, you are an amazing business person. But I suspect you're not a very good poker player, because you've got this look on your face. I know that you've got something you want to jump in with, so I'm just going to let you off the hook. Please share.
Okay, let me set this up then. When you talk about corporate America and your clients, I come through corporate America during the time when they were talking about every person within the organization is your client, so you should treat them like a client and what have you. And my thought, though, is that when someone works for you, that's positional authority. They either have to do what you want them to do or you let them go. And then when you were talking about your personal strength and the things that you do, well, you have positional authority over you. No one can tell you what to do with you. So now I'm curious about how do you use organized planning with those people that you have no positional authority over, that are your clients, that you're bringing into your pipeline? How do you handle that pipeline, those different personalities, in order to manage the intake of clients and then successful processing of what they want? I hope that's not too diluted, but I want to know how you handle those clients, Sandra.
So thank you for that question. As you know, you definitely have to, I use a intake sheet with my clients, and I think it's important to set the stage of the expectations I have of them and what they should expect from me. And so I make it very clear that it's important for us to be open and honest about what the needs are they're trying to accomplish and how I can help them achieve, whether it's having more time so they're not spending so much time doing their bookkeeping, or just really preparing for different events within their 90 days that they need to accomplish. So I try as best as I can to give them a layout. I think of it as I appreciated the professors in undergrad as well as graduate school that gave you that syllabus, and it was very detailed because I like to go back to the direction that was given to me. So I try to use that as an opportunity to share with clients and just be very upfront as to what needs to happen. I'm a planner. One of my favorite verses is good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. And so it's very important for me to convey to clients that this takes time, whether we're looking at tax information or we're preparing for taxes. You know, with the new tax laws, it's important for me to help clients understand this is what we need to focus on. These are the changes that are occurring. Sometimes small business owners, they're so busy with trying to do what they are in business for, and sometimes it's like the finances are an afterthought, and people still come to you with a shoebox of receipts. And so that's an opportunity for me to let them know, okay, we can handle this better. There are tools like QuickBooks and other applications where we can manage this, and then you're not always behind and having this actually stress of, I know I need to do this, but I don't have time to do it. So that's one of the ways I work and partner with clients to help them and just let them know. It's very important for me to let them know I care about their business. And because I care about their business, we're going to put the time in to make sure you understand what's going on. It's not important for me to just do their finances and give them a quarterly report and say you're good. I really want to help them understand this is why it's important, this is how we can improve, these are some of the changes that need to occur. So I think for me, setting the ground rules and having good conversation and letting them know that I am your trusted advisor, I'm just not your accountant or the person you call when you have QuickBooks issues. I want to walk with you to make sure you have a comfort of what's going on within your business as it relates to the financials.
Oh, I love that, because quite frankly, one of the taglines on my website is have your book written by someone who cares. And the reason I said that is because whenever I work with someone, I find the way to connect with them on a personal level in terms of their story. And to hear you use those words, they resonate with me. And that intake form, oh, that's That's pretty cool. I like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Sandra is an accountant. She is a business advisor. She's a business owner, and pretty sharp at that. So I have learned so much from this conversation, and I'm going to ask my co-hosts to kind of weigh in and share their ahas. But I am going to lead this off and just say that I've just really gained more confidence in the importance of having a defined vision, the use of vision boards, which I don't use as much as I should, and just your courage to have not only a focus but have other people hold you accountable to achieving your goals. That is just really, really inspiring to me. Thank you so much for that. Dr. James, what are your thoughts? What were some of your key takeaways from this conversation?
Yes, Sandra, again, thank you so much for jumping in with us today. A whole lot of stuff that you really touched on from your work in Ghana, from your corporate work, from your 90-day wins. I don't even know where to start, actually. I think my biggest one, which I'm again very inspired and admire, is your reaching out to Ghana. Do you have history in Ghana at all, or heritage at all from Ghana?
Good question. So I'm learning a lot about Ghana, and I'm learning a lot about Africa. And so within this 90-day win, one of the things I'm extremely excited about, so I've been preparing this trip, working with different individuals. I have connections in Ethiopia and a couple mm-hmm. other countries within Africa. So I don't have a direct connection with my lineage. My family is from Guyana, South America.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. I've been talking with some friends, and we are all business owners. And so we decided, with the year of return and all the different activities that Ghana has around it, that would be the first of many business opportunities and investments we like to work with Ghana on. So on last month, I was talking with a friend of mine, and she invited me to the Hope Global Forum. And so in going to that event and networking with her and some other people, I was able to meet the ambassador from Ghana, not knowing
nice.
He would be at this event. So you can imagine my excitement to have an opportunity mm-hmm. to talk with the ambassador and to directly ask him. I had one evening to spend with him, Andrew Young, some dynamic people there,
sure.
and they had a luncheon. And then the next day, they were having a session, and so I was able to talk to him about the delegation that we're bringing. And I specifically asked him how, if they only were interested in working with corporations or if they would work with smaller businesses of people. And I explained to him, we were planning the trip, shared with him. And so he expressed to me that he really wanted people like the investors that I was bringing. And so he gave me some good contact. I've been working with him. So definitely that's a part of my 90-day win, right? And so
right.
it's just being very intentional, you know, Think and Grow Rich, it talks about visualizing what you want and your affirmation. So I'm just extremely excited to be able to make these connections and meet so many people who have shared with me ideas and wanting to be a part of the trip. So when you're really intentional about what you want to do and what you want to accomplish, I believe God brings those things to you. So that's the little story about Ghana, and we're really excited, learning so much. My daughter's coming, so she's been studying Africa, and so we're just really excited to be a part of the year of the return.
Absolutely. Kudos to you for stepping outside of your comfort zone for something like this. This is only can have positive outcomes for sure. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Thank
well,
you.
Fantastic. So before we go to Pagin, I see you shaking over there. I know you got some great takeaways to share. We do have a caller, so we want to let the caller in so that they can ask the question and enhance the program. Caller?
Yeah, hi. This is Rose, Santa's buddy on the Elevated Mastermind group. And I want to ask a question to Sandra regarding the 90-day win. When you set a goal, just giving like a practical kind of benchmark, do you do like benchmarks per month? Or how do you set a benchmark to complete your goal in 90 days? Because I know 90 days is a big, long time, you know, span of time. So how do you kind of break up what needs to be done to achieve your 90-day goal? Thank you.
Thank you, Rose, for that question. So what I do is within our working with our mastermind group, I put together for the quarter what I want to accomplish, but then I go back within our McNeil Factor workbook and I say, okay, within this month, here are the areas that I'm going to focus on. So I have the 90-day picture of what I'd like to accomplish, and then I break it down into the month. So in April, these are the things I want to accomplish. And then I keep track weekly of how I'm moving forward. Am I reaching out to that contact? Am I following up on that lead? Have I prepared the new assignment that I want my team to be ready to handle at the end of the quarter? So I'm literally breaking the 90 days down to monthly, and then I'm going weekly. So weekly, I'm looking to say, how can I make these little steps to achieve that 90-day win? So I'm always looking and reevaluating the little steps that I need to get to the end of the 90 days. So it could be something as I need to prepare a proposal for sponsorship for this event that we're having. So did I reach out to these contacts? Did I get the information needed? Have I produced the letter I need to have? And so maybe the one week I didn't get it, but the next week I'm looking to say, okay, what time am I going to get this done? And then working with the group, I'm asking the questions to say, have I achieved this? What happened this week that stopped me from doing this? And how am I going to make this happen for the next week?
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Thanks for calling in, Rose. Pagin, okay. All right. The reins are off. What did you take from this conversation that will absolutely enhance, if not change, your life from this material? So what did you take from this conversation?
So honestly, I am speechless. Sandra,
is that
your
thing?
Answer just right. I'm telling you, I'm like, can I go to the replay? I wanted to capture everything you just said, Sandra, about in answer to Rose's question. Rose, fabulous, incredible question. Thank you for calling in. That was awesome. Sandra, your response of how you were breaking down your 90 days was quite extraordinary. So I'm going to be replaying this because you had a very prescribed way that you look at your 90 days and breaking it into the weeks and breaking it into the days was just, I'm telling you, I'm speechless. So I just need to sit here. I know Galen and Peter and Ursula are shocked, but I'm not talking. I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say except wow.
Well, that's the first. Fantastic. Again. Oh, my. So, yeah, just I think that just speaks to the power of our guest and just how she is bringing this, how she has brought this material to life. And so, Ursula, any final thoughts from you? What thoughts do you have? What are a few things that you took from this conversation?
Well, I'm sitting here looking at my planning tool, which is I call my production pipeline. And so I can relate to what Sandra has said all throughout this program, but I love the 90-day part. So I'm going to take everything I have and map it out based on not just what I have to get done, what I want to accomplish, and literally plan it out on a timeline. And I think that's a wonderful way to do it, and I've been inspired by that. So there are a number of things that I've learned from today or been inspired to do. Sometimes you know things and you just don't do them until somebody kicks you. And this is one of those opportunities where I've been motivated to take additional action. And also I wanted to let you know that we do have someone else that wants to join in on the conversation, and I'm not quite sure who, but they're at 6688. I'm going to open their line.
Good morning. This is Laverne. I'm calling in because you guys have a very exciting show today, and I am a client of Sandra Barker McIntosh. My husband and I rely on her for our bookkeeping and financial needs, and she's really awesome. I do have a question for you, Ms. Sandra. You mentioned you make it sound so easy when you talk about just not giving into the flaws or not, you know, when you don't meet a goal or, and I just want to see, is there a process in place that that you do when you lay out your plan, your 90-day win plan, and you're going through it and something doesn't work out? How do you recheck? What's your process for that?
Good question, Laverne. I look at making sure what I was trying to accomplish with it, that time frame. The first thing is to see if it aligned with the ultimate goal of what I'm trying to accomplish. So it allows for me to keep very clear what I'm trying to accomplish. So if something doesn't work, is it because it didn't align with what I was trying to accomplish anyway? So by looking at that through the lens of the bigger picture, and then just understanding, okay, well, maybe this is just a not now, or maybe it didn't align, so that's fine. Well, what really does need to be put in that place? So it's just a process for me of always keeping focus on what the ultimate goal is. And as Think and Grow Rich talks, when you write it down, and that's why I use these huge stickies, because I want to see it. You know, people talk about putting the vision board up so you can see it. But this finite 90-day review, I'm looking at it, and it's in front of me, so I'm passing it daily, and I'm looking at it. I'm saying, okay, am I doing those steps? Is this included in my weekly review? One of the things was some ladies that I'm friendly with, they were having an event that they wanted me to come to. I thought it was a good idea, but really it didn't align with what I was trying to do, and it would require expenses that I did not need to spend, an investment that I didn't need to spend. So in looking at that, I realized, okay, I didn't take any actions within my weekly goals to achieve this. And why I didn't, because it really wasn't something that I should have put in that 90 days. So that's fine. I didn't need to be a part of that event. Fine, but I had another event that lined up very well with what I was trying to accomplish. And so I was able to go and have a fruitful conversation with the ambassador. So I'm always looking to making sure that, does this make sense? Does this line up with what I want? Maybe it's the other way. Something new that I didn't think I needed, it lines up perfectly with my vision. And so then I just plan towards that. So it does sound very easy, but please understand, I'm constantly looking at it and taking the time. That's the thing. Oftentimes we talk about what we want to do, but we don't do the actions. So it's important to make sure we do the actions and take the time to really implement our plans.
Thank you.
Well, fantastic. Well, guys, you have heard it. Yes.
I just want to remind everybody about the International Mastermind Association and the annual conference where you can do what Sandra just suggested in terms of really doing an internal deep dive, plan your year, break it down into your 90 days, and have it done all together. So this is, if you go to the International Masterminders, that's International Masterminders, ERS.com, you'll see that we have this amazing event on January 5th, 2019 at the Embassy Suites Hilton Boca Raton in Boca Raton, Florida. Beautiful time for everybody to come from around the world to Boca. We have no snow that time. And join us, Ann McNeil, who's our founder, our mentor, our guide. She leads this amazing experience and event, and it's to help you have the process of developing your own life blueprint and annual report based on the teachings of Think and Grow Rich. So go to internationalmasterminders.com, and I look forward to seeing you on January 5th.
Well, fantastic, fantastic. So, Sandra, how can people get a hold of you? We've heard from some of your clients, some of your masterminders. How can they get a hold of you if they want some more advice? I'm sure you're going to be at the annual conference that Pagin just talked about. What's contact opportunities?
Sure. So on IG, my business site is Ardnaz Consulting. So that's Sandra spelled backwards, A-R-D-N-A-S Consulting. On Facebook, it's Ardnaz Consulting Services. And on Twitter, at Ardnaz Consult.
Well, thank you for that. You guys have had an incredible, incredible dose of not only what Think and Grow Rich can do for you, the masterwork of Napoleon Hill, but just the power that Ms. Sandra Barker McIntosh works with. Please reach out to her if she can help you in any way with your business or your life goals. I believe that a dream without a plan is just a hallucination, and Sandra definitely can help you put some structure to those goals that you talk about. This has been Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I believe that every success and every failure begins and ends with leadership, and I'm just really, really excited to be part of this show, and until next time, I will see you later. Take care.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.